Lord, meet with us and bless us today. Would you open your Bible, please, at the portion of Scripture that the Reverend Dean read? Genesis chapter 41. And with our Bibles open, we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this Thy day. We praise Thee for the joy of coming to Thy house, meeting with Thy people. And we thank Thee we have got Thy word in our mother tongue. We praise Thee for the precious Word of God. And so, our Lord, we ask that as we now turn to the Scriptures, that the author himself, the Holy Spirit, will come to reason here. We pray that Thou wilt illuminate the page. We ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou wilt open our minds. And we pray that Thou wilt open our minds that we might hear Thy Word, and open our hearts that we might receive the truth of Thy Word. We pray this will be a day of blessing in this house. And we ask Thee now, O Lord, that in a very special way, that the Lord would come near and touch our hearts. We look to Thee, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words that I have felt exercised about for our morning worship is those, that phrase found at the end of verse 55. Genesis 41 and verse 55. They're the words of the king of Egypt, King Pharaoh. He said to a starving people, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." Go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you, do. You couldn't read those words without being reminded of the words of Mary. Mary spoke to the servants where the Lord Jesus attended the wedding. A young couple were getting married. They were not ashamed to have the Lord Jesus there with them as their guests. And when the natural resources ran down, the Lord Jesus turned the water into wine. But Mary said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And these words here in verse 55 are the words of the king of Egypt to a starving people. You know the background, how that Egypt had been blessed greatly. They had a tremendous harvest for 7 consecutive years. They had a great harvest. But they were privileged in that they had God's man, who alerted them and warned them that that bountiful harvest was not going to continue. That the harvest would fail not only 1 year, but it would fail for 7 years. But God's man in the person of Joseph made provision for those years when there would be dearth in the land, when there would be famine. And so God's servant, Joseph, he became the prime minister of Egypt, and he made provision for the people. And when the famine commenced, and the crops failed, people were hungry, they were needing corn, they were needing wheat, they were needing grain, and they went to the king, and the king sent them to Pharaoh. King Pharaoh sent them to Joseph, and he said to the people, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." I want you to think with me about that phrase, "Go to Joseph." We're not just thinking about Joseph, who was the prime minister of Egypt, but we're thinking of the heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus. Go to Joseph, because as Joseph in the Old Testament met the needs of those people way back there in that day and generation, the heavenly Joseph can meet the need in your heart and the need in your life. You see, we have a hunger. We have a need. And only the Lord Jesus can meet that need. Now, I know that man has many needs. He needs housing. He needs education. He needs employment. He has many needs. But his supreme need is that of a spiritual nature. And only the Lord Jesus can meet the need in your heart and in the need of mine. And may, as a result of our morning worship, may we be an obedient people who will go to Jesus, and Jesus will meet our need. Now, as we think about this phrase that was given, these words that were uttered by Pharaoh to a hungry and a starving people, "Go to Joseph," we want to think first of all about who Joseph was. Who was this man? And the Bible answers it for us in 4 ways. And I trust as we share it with you today that you will get a new love for the Savior, a new love for the heavenly Joseph. And you will come to him with assurance, knowing that he will supply all your needs according to the riches of his grace. First of all, I want you to see with me that Joseph was the beloved son. With your Bible there open, will you turn back to chapter 37? And you will notice clearly, without any doubt, even the children will know that Joseph was the beloved son. Genesis 37 and verse 3. Now Israel, that was Jacob's name. His name had been changed from Jacob to Israel. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Joseph was the beloved son. And so as you think of Joseph, the beloved son, we think of the beloved son in heaven, because the Joseph here is a type. He is the foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know of one person in Scripture who serves us as a type of the Lord Jesus better than Joseph. He was a sinner. Yet, there is not one sin recorded against him. There's sin recorded against Moses. There's sin recorded against David. And all the patriarchs, sinners recorded against them. Joseph, of course, was a sinner, but there are no sins recorded against him. He is a perfect type of the Lord Jesus. And we see Joseph, first of all, as the beloved son. The one that we are directing you to is the beloved son. You can think of Joseph, think of his place. He was in the father's house. He was at the father's side. And you could think of his purity. He was a pure young man. And how that is brought out as you study the life of Joseph, you couldn't feel but notice the purity of the young man. And you could think of the portrait that he portrays the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Now, Joseph was the beloved son. There are four things I want you to think with me very quickly about Joseph, the beloved son. I want you to think, first of all, about his name. His name means one who adds. He's the one who increases. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. Jesus is the one who adds to us. He's the one who increases. You know, young people have the idea, if I became a Christian, if I were to go to the Lord Jesus and give my life to him, he would take away the joy. I would be living a cold life. I would be living a miserable life. My dear friends, the very thing that drew me to be a Christian was the fact that Jesus Christ had come to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. The older folk here know that I grew up some miles out the road there, a little place called Drumara. And it was on the first Sunday of June 1953, a young man leaving school, going out into life to seek all that the world had to offer. But very quickly I learned that what I was looking for was not in places, it was not in pleasures, it was in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus, the one that would increase, the one who would add, the one who would sustain me. And it is a step that I never regretted. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and it's so encouraging to see many young people, I don't know where you stand spiritually. I would venture to say today in our free churches, there's only the Lord and the person themselves know exactly where they stand. If you're not walking with the Lord, I urge you to commit your life fully to the Lord and serve him with nothing less than your best. You see, the person we are directing you to is the person who will add to you, who will complete you, who will assist you in every way. We're saying, go to Joseph, Joseph the beloved son. So we have his name, Joseph, the one who adds. But think there of Joseph, his nature. Now you will notice that Joseph is not a talebearer. He's one that told the truth. It says, for instance, at verse 2, if you're still your Bible open at chapter 37, these are the generations of Jacob, the sons of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You see, they were sinful boys, and they were not setting a good example to Joseph. Joseph is one who stood for truth. He stood for righteousness, and he brought this report to his father. That was his nature. His nature is that of truth-bearing. The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're thinking of the beloved son. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, men and women, bears the truth. He tells us that we are sinners, and he alone is the one who can pardon us from our sins. We need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior we need. His nature is that of truth. He is the very epitome of truth. The very essence of His being is love and truth. You think again there of His nobility. You will see that Joseph wore the coat of many colors. Joseph was noble in dress. He wore the princely robe. The Lord Jesus was the Prince of Glory. Came down the long ladder of humiliation to be your Savior and to be mine. You could think again that Joseph was noble in his dreams. He dreamed about the wheat. We're thinking today of the harvest. Joseph dreamt about the wheat, about the sheaves bowing down to his sheaves. He dreamt about earth resources. And then he dreamt about he thought about the moon and the stars. There he was dreaming about earth's rulers. You can see all of that speaks to us about his nobility. You could think not only of his name and his nurture, his nature and his nobility. You could also think of his nurture. How Israel loved him. Oh, how the Father loved the Lord Jesus. And he loved you and me. Loved us so much that he sent his beloved Son to be our Savior. Could I tell you, men and women, you sometimes who are discouraged, who are maybe even to the point of desperation, maybe even depressed, that God Almighty loves you as He loves His own Son. Could I give you the verse that would substantiate that and prove it to you beyond all doubt? When the devil comes and gives you a difficult time, maybe tomorrow at work, you'll be having a hard time, the housewife will be having a testing time, and you'll just wonder, does the Lord really care? Would you go to that great intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17? And look what the Savior Himself said. John 17. And go down the chapter. And look there with me at verse 23. The Savior is in prayer. He says, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, mark it, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The Lord Jesus loves you, and He cares for you. And our Father in heaven loves you, and He loves you just as He loves His beloved Son. And so today, as we come to our morning harvest, and we're thinking here about all the supply of the natural realm, but we're thinking particularly about the supply in the spiritual realm. Just as Joseph could meet the need of the people in his day and generation, Jesus, now who's seated at the Father's right hand, can meet your need. He is the bread of heaven. And we say to you, as Pharaoh said to those who came to inquire of him, he directed them to the beloved Son. And we say to you, go to the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. You remember when Christ commenced His earthly ministry, there was the voice from heaven, this is My beloved Son. And so Joseph was the beloved Son. He's a type of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is the beloved Son, the one that we need to meet with, the one we need to be acquainted with. Now let's move on quickly in the second place. And this time I want you to notice that Joseph was the rejected servant. Notice what's recorded for us in Genesis 37. The beloved son was sent to his brethren. And it says at verse 14. And he said, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren. You see, the beloved son was sent into this world to be the servant. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. What a picture we have of the Lord Jesus been sent by the Father. And so Jacob sent his son to see the brethren and to see if it be well with them. But you'll notice that his brethren hated him, they scorned him. If you have your Bible open, look what it says at verse 14. Verse 4, first of all. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. Again, you can see a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was the sent one. He was the scorned one. He became the suffering one. And I would ask you, when you go home today, to read this chapter. And you will see at verse 23 how he was stripped. It says there, and it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped him out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. You see again, what a picture we have of the Lord Jesus. We're thinking now of Joseph, the rejected one. He was sent, he was scorned, he suffered. You'll notice in his suffering he was stripped. That's what they did with the Savior. They took the garment off him, and they spat upon him, they bruised him. He was the scorned one. And you'll notice in the same chapter that he was the sold one. Notice verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. You know the New Testament name for Judah? Judas. He was the sole one. Notice that he, as far as his father was concerned, he was the slain one. Those boys sold him, and he went down and was sold on the slave market in Egypt. But his brethren took his coat, they took an animal, they slew the animal, they dipped the coat in the blood of the animal, and they took it back to his father. And his father said, this is Joseph, without doubt, he's rend in pieces. He says, I will go down into the grave unto my son. Thus his father wept for him. In the mind of Jacob, Joseph was the slain one. Now I want you to follow me here. This is the person that the king of Egypt directed a starving multitude to. Go to Joseph, the beloved son. Go to Joseph, the rejected servant. But that beloved son, that rejected servant, became the exalted sovereign. Oh, many things had happened in his life. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. Those slave traders took him down to Egypt. He was sold on the slave market. He went to Potiphar's house, and there he worked and labored, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord blessed him. There was false accusations made against him of the most crucial kind, of most immoral accusations made against Joseph, who was absolutely pure, and he was put into prison. In prison he was forgotten about. And then one day he was remembered. He was brought in before Pharaoh. He was exalted. The ring was put on his hands. The clothing was put on him. The royal robe was put on him. He rode in the second chariot, and the people hailed Joseph. Oh, you see, Joseph became the exalted servant, or the exalted sovereign. And so it was with our Savior. The Lord Jesus was rejected of men. He suffered. He died at their hands. He was buried. He rose again. And now he's at the Father's right hand. And one day he's coming again, coming in power and coming in glory. He's the exalted sovereign. Every knee will bow. Let me tell you today in this church, those of you who are not saved, who refuse to accept Jesus Christ, one day you will bow the knee. One day you will confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. You see, he is now the exalted servant, or the exalted sovereign. He was a rejected servant. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But like Joseph, he's now in the place of supremacy. He is the sovereign. And one day all of us will confess him as our Lord. You see, Joseph here was the exalted sovereign. God brought the rejected servant out of prison, out of the place where he had been forgotten, to a place of supremacy, where he was supreme in the land. And it was to the exalted sovereign that old Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. And that's what we're saying to you today. He is the sovereign. He's the King. He's the Lord of glory. Go to Him, for He can meet the need in your heart and in your life. But while it is good to look at Joseph, that's the one we direct men to, while it's good to look at him and see him as the beloved son, and see him as the rejected servant, and see him as the exalted sovereign, I want you today to see with me that he is the seeking Savior. I want you to follow this with me. Let's look at chapter 41 and verse 45. Chapter 41, verse 45. Because you see, Joseph got a new name, and he got a Gentile bride. Do you see the portrait, the type the whole way through? Joseph is a perfect type of the Lord Jesus. He got a new name. Look at verse 45. Need Mr. Dean here, the Hebrew scholar, to explain this name to us. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Paneah in the Egyptian language. That means Savior of the world. That was the name Pharaoh gave him. Joseph, the rejected servant, is now the Savior of the world. That name in the Hebrew means revealer of secrets. So this man, Joseph, got a new name. And he got a new bride, a Gentile bride. And when he would go out and among the people, riding in the second chariot, his bride was at his side. Oh, what a picture of Christ and his church. I want you to notice here that Joseph, as the seeking Savior, brings to us a tremendous gospel message. You will see, first of all, that he is the Redeemer. The Revealer. He is the one who can reveal secrets. Look at chapter 45. Remember, as you're turning to it, there's the law of the harvest. We will reap what we sow. And Joseph's brothers now were going to reap what they sowed. They are brought in before him. They haven't as yet recognized him. But you will see there that he puts his finger on their sin, and their sin is brought to their remembrance. It says at verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them and stood by him. And he cried and caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. Here he's manifesting himself. He's the revealer. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You see, like Jesus, he reveals himself as the Savior. He reveals their sin. They has put his finger on their sin. They could not, it says here, they were troubled at his presence. Oh, how men and women ought to be troubled at the presence of the Lord Jesus. They see him as the high and lofty one, and their sin is ever before them, and how they ought to confess it and acknowledge it. Even right now, if you come under conviction of sin, you ought to confess your sin. You ought to forsake your sin and be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is as the revealer. But notice he's there as the redeemer. Verse 4-5 reads, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Oh, that's what the Lord Jesus has come to do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord has provided for us in the natural realm. What a harvest he has given us this year again. While other countries, their harvest have failed, even in England, with the bad weather, how many crops were ruined, and yet here in our little land, Our harvest has been spared. God has provided for us in the natural realm, but He has provided for us in the spiritual realm. He is the revealer. He marks our sin and He reveals Himself as the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He wants to save our lives. And He has already shed His precious blood on the cross at Calvary. But look again there very quickly and you'll see that He is the reconciler. Verse 15, moreover, He kissed all His brethren and wept upon them. And after that, His brethren talked with Him. Oh, what a picture we have here of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Savior wants to do. Men and women, do you know what the Savior is saying to you right now? He's saying the same as Joseph said. He's saying, come near to me. And oh, I trust that your response there in verse 4, as it was with his brethren. And they came near, and they were reconciled. He kissed them. The kiss of pardon, the kiss of reconciliation, the kiss of forgiveness. Oh, what a wonderful picture we have of the Lord Jesus. Oh, when we come to the Savior, we meet Him at the old rugged cross. There's pardon for us. There's forgiveness for us. And right now I'm saying to you, as old Pharaoh said of old, go to Joseph. You see, only Joseph could meet the need in that day and generation. And only Jesus can meet your need and mine. Even at the expense of reputation, I say it again. Go to Jesus. He's the Savior. Oh, what a picture we have of the Lord Jesus this morning. As we have thought of Him, and it's been so quickly, Jesus is the beloved Son. He was the rejected servant. He came unto His own, but they wouldn't accept Him. They cried away with Him. But He is now the exalted Sovereign. He's the King of glory. But all right now in our meeting, He's the seeking Savior. He's seeking for men and women. He's speaking. He's drawing them to Himself. He's saying, come here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, will you respond as Joseph's brothers responded? The sons of Jacob, they came to Joseph. And he met them at the very point of their need. He talked with them. They enjoyed fellowship. And one day he sent the wagon for his father. And they were brought together. What a reunion. What a time of fellowship that was. When old Jacob heard that his son was alive, do you know what it says? The spirit of Jacob, their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. I tell you, that's what you must do. You must go to Jesus before you die. Because after death, it would be too late. Won't you come? And know abundant supply from the Savior's mighty hand. Oh, may each of us today go to Jesus. And He will bless us. Let's bow in prayer.